Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 249 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. The BCCI on Thursday announced India's squads for the upcoming tour of South Africa, where the side is scheduled to play three T20Is in as many ODIs and two tests. The three-match T20I series is scheduled to begin on December 10th. In this episode, we discuss the major observations, takeaways, and insights from the squads announced. Joining us for this discussion, we have Sumukh Anand. He is an avid cricket fan and your friendly neighborhood Dale Steyn. He's someone who you see on the internet stanning the flamboyance of Faf du Plessis and crunching numbers to give better insights of the game. Without further ado, let's get started. Hi Sumukh, welcome to Never on the Back Foot podcast. After seeing your wisdom spewn all over the internet, thanks to Sachit's lovely screenshots, I'm glad we are finally doing this.
Yeah, really happy that finally I'm making my debut on Never on the Back Foot. So let's hope we have a very fun session today.
Certainly. I mean, so much to talk about right now. The India squad for South Africa series has been announced. And I think the first biggest thing is how, Rahul Dravid and his fellow coaching staff have been offered, extended contracts. So what are your thoughts in the same? And were you happy with this move?
I'm actually happy that Rahul Dravid and his co are getting a contract extension. I think it's until the end of T20 World Cup, right? I think it's a very well-deserved extension. His tenure with the team started from the very, very series of South Africa 2 years ago. They have quite a few achievements that they should be proud of. I think the more of the system that they have brought inside the team is what deserves an extension, and it's very apt for the situation with the aging. I call this an aging test side, Indian side that has, this is going under a transition phase, and none better than Rahul Dravid to handle this transition better for the future of Indian cricket.
Definitely agreed with you on that. And we will get to, looking at the test squad in detail as well. Now, when you look at the squads for each of the respective formats, now split captaincy is something that India has not really experimented with. It was not considered a viable option, right? But now with the kind of squads that have been announced with the respective captains and, keeping in mind this whole workload management, do you think finally India and the management have embraced this concept of split captaincy?
Not really yet. I still don't understand this idea of split captaincy. From split captaincy, from white ball to red ball, it became split captaincy to formats. I don't know what's going on with the captaincy and the BCCI. There are just seven international T20 games before the T20 World Cup, and your main players who might be playing for the T20 World Cup are not part of the squad. And on what basis will they select the squad for T20 World Cup in such a short duration of time? I still don't know where they are going ahead with this split captaincy, but Rohit Sharma for the test has done a fantastic job. Yeah, he has done a good job. But for the ODI, he had a very great run. It's good that Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma rested for this series. This series is fine, but I still don't understand the concept of T20s, where it's heading. Yeah,
that's actually true, because we had a very heartbreaking loss, obviously, in that ODI World Cup. And now we see, the focus has entirely shifted to the World Test Championship Finals, as well as the T20 World Cup that's coming up next year. So do you think this is the right way to go, with the kind of squads that have been chosen and the mindset per se?
We played just two tests before this in this cycle. And already we are seeing quite a few changes in the middle order. Ajinkya Rahane came out of nowhere based on his IPL performance. And three bad innings later, he's already not in the contention. And I think that's the end for Cheteshwar Pujara. He has been given ample amount of times to prove his position, but he has failed to do it. And as I said, this is an aging Indian side, and this really needs a transition in the test side at least. The ODI side and T20 side have a majority amount of youngsters, but the test side has all the experienced veterans and the lack of experienced youngsters.
Fair enough. And now, you know, let's divert our attention to the test squad, right? So you obviously called it a very aging squad because we see a lot of, you know, experienced players here. Now, both Rohit Sharma and Virat Kohli have been given a break from the white leg tour to just, you know, focus on the tests. So somewhere, you know, do you think they're being converted to this red ball specialists and it's actually the way to go?
From what message I saw from BCCI, it's that Rohit Sharma and Virat Kohli requested for a break, and it's very understandable. I hope that's the reason and there won't be any further drama of just keeping them for the red ball and not making them play for the T20 or white ball side. I just hope they come back to the all three formats as soon as possible, starting next year.
Certainly. And another name that didn't make the cut for this, you know, that didn't make the cut for the white ball formats was Jasprit Bumrah. So again, do you see, you know, with age catching up with him and this uncanny bowling action, somewhere the management is trying to, you know, preserve him and keep him fresh only for tests where his strengths primarily lie?
This time they are playing just two tests. Being an India-South Africa test series, there needs to be at least three match series. It's not fair that it's just a two match series, and I still think he's being rested, and it's a good way that he's being preserved. There's no ODI World Cup or anything to make Bumrah play for the ODI leg, so that makes sense. But if Bumrah is your prime go-to bowler for your T20 World Cup, it's just seven games. And he needs to be tested at some point. It's not like he's inexperienced or something. He already carries immense experience from IPL and he has played ample amount of T20 games. So not necessary that he needs to play all the series. But I think it's better they manage the workload as they move into the World Cup cycle.
Fair enough, that does make sense. And earlier in our discussion, we brought in the point of Rahane, right? Now there's no place for Rahane. And, you know, given that surprise call-up for the World Test Championship final, based on his IPL performance, then elevated to vice captaincy for the West Indies series, somewhere the rationale is just not adding up. Like, you include someone and then just not have them for this important South Africa series. So what are your thoughts on his absence from the squad? And somewhere, again, do you think the door is shut for his potential for the selection?
The door keeps shutting and opening. We never know until somebody puts a lock to the door. So Rahane, yeah, he made a cut to the team based on IPL performance. Based on his previous experience, he proved his worth in the World Test Championship final. 89 and 46. Yeah, very, very good runs. But he was taken into the consideration for the West Indies series. That means that's the very first series that he'll be playing in the 2025 World Test Championship cycle. We all thought that he would be considered for this cycle and maybe this is the end for that phase where prime of Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli, Pujara, Rahane, everybody who started the World Test Championship cycles may transition during this phase. But I think it's stuck, or I won't say it's locked yet. The door is stuck for Ajinkya Rahane. Three bad games in West Indies and he is out.
And even another name that didn't make the cut was Cheteshwar Pujara, right? He's again nowhere to be seen. So again, do you think, you know, he's out of contention completely as India seems to, you know, phase out the senior players slowly from the setup?
In a way, I think it's good that they're bringing in the youngsters, the likes of Shreyas Iyer over there in the position of Ajinkya Rahane or Cheteshwar Pujara. But yeah, same case with Cheteshwar Pujara as well. He was given enough amount of times, even more than Rahane, to prove his worth in the team. He was sent two times to play county. He had a very beautiful run in county, and when it mattered the most, playing for your nation, he couldn't deliver. I think that's it. That's it for Cheteshwar Pujara.
Fair enough. And looking at even Shreyas Iyer, now he has made his way back to the squad, presumably, I think, in place of either Pujara or Rahane. So what are your thoughts on Shreyas Iyer, the red ball player? I mean, he has this apparent weakness against short balls. We've seen him play that full shot even when it's not needed and, you know, get out more often than not. So how do you gauge his presence in this squad?
See, I'm always have been a fan of Shreyas Iyer, the red ball player. I have known him play very good knocks since the 2016 when Australia played a match against India in A in Brabourne. Shreyas Iyer took the bowlers of Australia, the spinners. He was muzzling down the sixes out of the park for fun. I know what he's capable of. He's technically very sound. And we found the very right number four batsman that India always required in the World Cup. We all know how consistent and how powerful he can be. He can change the gears very quickly. So he's the current gen proper player who knows when to activate test mode, when to activate the T20 mode. So I think it's a good move. The short ball, yeah. Playing on tracks of South Africa, one of the toughest tracks to bat on in the world. It will really test him. The likes of Hendrik Nokia, not sure about his position yet, but Rabada, Ngidi, and Marco Jansen. Yeah, it will really test him for the short balls. I think towards the end of the World Cup, he showed that he doesn't have the weakness towards the short ball. But he tends to take the more attacking route rather than the defending route of ducking or leaving it. I think it's fine, only time will tell after the South Africa series if the short ball is sorted or he still has the problem in that area.
Certainly, because he seems to clearly deny the problem exists in the first place. So let's see how he fares in this series. It'll give us a fair assessment of how, you know, he can actually tackle that short ball problem. And interestingly, now KL Rahul is also, you know, listed as the wicketkeeper in this squad. Now, this marks his return to the side after being dropped in the middle of the Border Gavaskar Trophy earlier this year. So what did you make of the move? And with even Ishan Kishan in that squad, who do you think India would want to opt for?
India will definitely go with the likes of KL Rahul. Yeah, after... Yeah, once again, they're considering the very beautiful performance from the World Cup leg. So, KL Rahul will start as the first choice wicketkeeper. He's someone who has the strength to slog those short deliveries easily. And he's someone who is made for the South African decks. So I think he'll make the cut easily. But my question is, where would KL Rahul bat? Will he open? That's the question. So I don't know where he'll be batting. He came to Indian side as a middle order player, upped his ranks to the opener spot. Then he got dropped out. KL Rahul is definitely a proven opener in the conditions of Australia and England. One of the toughest tracks, definitely. But I think KL should bat in the middle order, considering it looks kind of fragile, the middle order, with lack of experience with the inclusion of new youngsters. I think someone of the likes of KL Rahul needs to be there to stabilize the innings between the tail and the middle order.
That's actually true, because KL Rahul does come in with that experience, and, you know, seeing where the management slots him will be quite fascinating as well. Now, another player, you know, who really caught everyone's attention during that West Indies series has to be Yashasvi Jaiswal. So how do you see him, you know, being slotted in that playing 11? Do you think he'll be used at that number three slot to replace Pujara? So then you have Kohli coming in at four, then you have Iyer coming in at five, KL Rahul at six, some combination like that, perhaps?
I'm not quite sure about how they will shuffle, but there will be quite a lot of shuffling Because there are a lot of inclusion. There is Shreyas Iyer, KL Rahul, and Yashasvi Jaiswal. These three will definitely make it walk into the first test. Who is the opener? I don't know. But if you ask me, it's very better to go with the right hand, left hand combination. In that way, you can disturb the line and length of the bowler, considering it's South Africa. Yeah, I think Gill requested that he wanted to play at number three in West Indies series. If that continues, yeah, I think then Yashasvi Jaiswal at the opening, Gill at number three, Kohli at four, that will be locked. KL in the middle.
Fair enough. I mean, again, just to add more to India's problems now, even Ruturaj Gaikwad has been included. So, in the mix of so many players, do you actually see Ruturaj, getting a chance to feature in the playing 11 of either test? Because, as you said, this is just a two-match series, so you really have to win both the tests. It's not like there's a third match, where you can experiment after having won the series 2-0. Pompous of me to assume we're winning the series 2-0 there. But do you see him as, this backup opener option we have, or somewhere in that middle order to, see things through if there's a unexpected injury or so?
Definitely, that's a very beautiful point that you bring in here. So it's just a two-match series. Yes, there are three openers chosen here. Not three, four. Even KL Rahul can open. So KL, Ruturaj Gaikwad, Yashasvi Jaiswal, and Gill, leaving Rohit Sharma apart. So you have quite a lot of choices that you can choose from. But considering a two-match series, it's very unlikely that Ruturaj Gaikwad will make this cut. But he has this serious competition that anywhere he will go, he will face the likes of Yashasvi Jaiswal. He will face the likes of Shubman Gill in any format he takes. He needs to prove it. He needs to deliver it beyond the expectations to make the cut.
Yeah, that's actually true. Otherwise, making it through this competitive Indian team is very difficult. And it kind of even reminds me of, I don't know which cricketer or some expert said this, like, based on performances in IPL and domestic cricket, they just choose players and they just put them in the Indian team with no consideration of where they would actually slot in. So it's just like an accumulation of like the best batters that are just put in the squad, right? So somewhere do you think the management is actually, faulting on that and just banking on players who are actually performing well without really understanding if the team has a requirement or a deficit in that specific area?
Exactly, that's a very serious topic to be concerned about. Yeah, if you consider the routes into making into a Indian cricket team, you have two routes, obviously. One is the traditional route. You up the ranks from state, then you play for India A, then you play for the national team. The other one is the IPL route. Since IPL started, you recognize talents from IPL, you play. I also back the idea of making the cut through IPL, unless you have some domestic experience. IPL is already one of the toughest leagues to be playing. If you consider the likes of bilateral series, IPL is way ahead in terms of its competency and the competition that you'll be facing. It's very fierce and it's very cutthroat. But what we don't know is on what basis the management is selecting the team. Are they considering the consideration of the wickets, the tracks, conditions, or is there a role of the captain in choosing the players? We are still not aware of it. If we see someone like in Cricket Australia, it's the board who sits along with the captain and vice captain, along with the management, and who makes the decision of choosing the square. It's a very great example, this World Cup. They didn't let go of Travis Head. The Pat Cummins clearly backed Travis Head, even though he was injured, that he will straight away walk into the team because he's already experienced and he doesn't need to prove anything by playing any bilateral series or anything. But it's clearly evident that there is no What's the basis of selection to the team? We clearly don't know.
Yeah, I mean that this one area, as you said, is quite serious and has to be considered because, involving the captain in like important decisions like this is certainly the only way to go, because they would exactly know what the team needs, right? Rather than just having like people decide, like a management or just a chairman of selectors randomly picking what is needed for the team. So I hope that is also taken into account. Now, looking back at the test squad, of course, we know the conditions are South Africa, right? Yet we have spinners in the form of Ravichandran Ashwin and Jadeja, whose presence in the setup really, sorts the spin department itself, right? But with the conditions in mind, don't you think it's going to be an either-or situation with them? And who would you think would, get the cut?
It's South Africa, so I don't think there'll be much role for a spinner here. But from the recent times, what I'm hearing from the folks at South Africa, the pitches have turned drier and they are a lot more cracked from what I have heard. But I don't have any solid proof of evidence that this is happening. They are experienced professionals who are telling, and I just need to plainly believe because I can't go to South Africa and look at the wickets. So I'll be really tempted to play Prasidh Krishna here. That's a very controversial opinion here, but Prasidh Krishna is someone who is properly made for South African conditions. He should be a South African fast bowler. So he has this unique ability. So he's tall, he can bowl 145 clicks consistently. And more importantly, hit the deck ability, which is a very rare commodity in Indian cricket team. Very few bowlers are there who has the hit the deck capability. It's just Prasidh Krishna, Vidwat Kavarappa, and Mukesh Kumar. Those are the just three bowlers that ring my head when I hear the word hit the deck. So I would go with Prasidh Krishna, Jasprit Bumrah, Mohammad Siraj, and Mohammad Shami as my four fast bowlers. It will be just one spinner, Jadeja. And it's also important to take the consideration of the overrate limits and how serious ICC has been with the time limits. A potential penalty point can lead us easily out of the final contention of the WTC finals. We already have faced one washed out game in West Indies, which was supposed to be an easy win game for us, but we clearly lost half the points over there with the draw. But everything needs to be considered here, making even a small change. So unless the wicket is very dry, I won't go for the likes of Ashwin here.
Definitely, that makes sense. And your controversial opinion of, including Prasidh Krishna, recency bias suggests that, the man's not had the best of the series, currently the T21 versus Australia. And they don't look at him as like that typical T20 bowler. But I think seeing him in the whites is definitely going to be the way to go. I mean, for us who have followed him through the domestic circuit, we've seen, right, how he is consistently season after season performed so well for Karnataka. Now, even looking at India's pace battery, you have Shardul Thakur, Siraj, then Mukesh Kumar, Mohammad Shami, Jasprit Bumrah, and Prasidh Krishna. I think the pace battery looks certainly more than formidable. So again, you still believe that including going ahead with the likes of Prasidh Krishna, Mohammad Shami, Siraj, and Shami is the ideal combination, the four-pronged pace attack for this conditions?
Yeah, I would be really tempted to play Prasidh Krishna, but if you are going for a extra batter just to add the depth, then they will go with likes of Shardul Thakur in place of Prasidh Krishna, which is evident. But if the wicket has ample amount of grass moisture, just go with Prasidh Krishna. He can rattle that South African lineup. He has a beautiful in-swinger. He can clock 145 easily and he can trouble with his lengths.
Yeah, I mean, it will be exciting to see if the management also thinks the same. And looking at the context of this series, there's obviously a lot on stake, right? We have the World Test Championship, 2025 finals, that qualification beckoning. And a series win in South Africa is massive, right? We've never had that luxury. We have won a few tests here and there, but a series win is going to mean a lot to this unit. So do you see us go all the way and any prediction for the same?
We had the best possible shot at winning a series in South Africa 2 years ago. due to all other reasons, we couldn't win it. But this time, we have another shot with almost similar team with more experience. I think we have a shot here. But if Anrik Nokia is making into the team, if he's fit and fine, I think their bowlers will definitely trouble our batting lineup. They will clearly exploit the inexperience of Gill and Yashasvi Jaiswal at the top, and there will be a lot of pressure on Virat Kohli and the bottom order once again.
Yeah, that's going to be a sight to watch out for. And before we move on to the ODIs, do you have any best playing 11 that India can present with the squad?
For the test side. Okay, so India are playing two tests, one in Cape Town. Yeah, so Cape Town and Super Sport Park. Yeah, both are proper batting tracks. They have like average first inning scores of minimum 400 and 450. So it would be better to stack up a strong batting and a strong bowling. So I would go with Rohit and Yashasvi Jaiswal at the top opening. Three will be Gill, then Virat Kohli, Shreyas Iyer, KL Rahul, then Jadeja, and my four bowlers. I'll go with Prasidd, Siraj, Bumrah, and Shami.
That certainly looks quite formidable and can really give, a good fight to South Africa. So, really looking forward to that. And let's, take our attention now to the ODIs, right? Again, another interesting squad composition where KL Rahul has been named the ODI captain. So, what are your thoughts on this move and overall thoughts on the squad?
That's a very well-deserved call-up for KL Rahul. Awaited from a very long time. KL Rahul has proven his worth as a captain. There are a lot of records that he can back to show his captaincy records that even Virat Kohli will be proud of. Virat Kohli got a 71st century under KL Rahul's captaincy, and I'll back KL Rahul for that. Anything happens. So I'm not sure about what's the squad for South Africa, but coming from a strong World Cup season, India will clearly dominate this ODI series as well. But I can see a clear lack of experience in that late middle order and the likes of fast bowling department. It's just concerning. The batting looks sorted, but the inclusion of Sai Sudarshan over there, again, what's the basis, which format, whole lot of confusion. Sai Sudarshan had a beautiful run in IPL. It's fair that he was included to the Ireland series, the T20 series. And they didn't, I'm not sure if they included him in the Australia series, but he should have made the cut for the Australia T20 series. But he has made the cut for ODI series. Then you have someone in the likes of Devdutt Padikkal, who is having a dream season in Vijay Hazare Trophy. He's averaging more than 120, and his strike rate is healthy. He's the leading run scorer over there. He is someone who has represented India previously. Even for a small series against Sri Lanka, he has represented. I think he should have made the cut for the opening slot in place of Sai Sudarshan. But bowling, it looks kind of mediocre bowling lineup with Deepak Chahar, Avesh Khan, Mukesh Kumar, who will be visiting South Africa for the first time, and Washington Sundar making in as an all-rounder. It's very concerning. His all-rounding abilities are very concerning. He's more of a bowler who can also bat, but in the slot of Washington Sundar, we need someone who can also muzzle few boundaries when required. It's kind of mixed opinions, but whatever squad that South Africa will bring in, there won't be Quinton de Kock or anyone, the fire at the top. I think this should be a series win for India in the ODIs.
Fair enough. And looking at the batting as well, now you have Tilak Varma, Rajat Pathidhar, then Rinku Singh and Shreyas Iyer. So it's definitely a solid middle order here. But again, like, are you excited to see them?
Yeah, really excited to see these youngsters who will be making their debut in ODI. In South Africa, it will be challenging. I expect them to really play good. So they'll be playing at Johannesburg, Durban, and I think one in Cape Town or again SuperSport Park. So not sure about the last one. All these three tracks are proper belters in South Africa. We have seen Johannesburg has almost reached an average score nearing 400 this year. So nothing is safe over there. So considering our strong heavy batting lineup, they will enjoy batting at Johannesburg. It will be a batting paradise, but it's equally a bowler's nightmare to bowl at Johannesburg with lack of experience. I think someone like just addition of Bumrah or just the addition of Siraj could have made a lot of difference here. You don't have that quality of bowlers who can really hit those hard lengths and bowl quick bounces. Deepak Chahar is someone who can swing early, get the swing early on, but he's not someone who can bowl at 140 clicks or something. So I would have preferred to see at least Siraj, Shami or Bumrah, either of them play here, and that addition of experience would have made a lot of difference here.
Certainly. And another interesting name, you know, that has made the cut for this ODI series is that of Sanju Samson, right? Now, many people were sad that he was not a part of the Australia series and, you know, didn't make it to the World Cup, the preceding series. And, you know, seeing his name was something that all of his fan army just went all out. And even Rajat Pathidhar, you know, making the cut was seen as a, like, welcome sign. So now, what do you make of their inclusions? And again, like, every time Sanju Samson comes, there's this pressure, right? Oh my God, he has to perform or he's not going to make the cut. So, thoughts on his inclusion?
Sanju Samson, so I don't know, he was selected based on the pressure of Twitter. I saw somebody from BCCI also mentioned that if we do not include so and so name in the squad, we'll get so and so number of bashings on Twitter. I don't know if that is how players are being selected. Even you and me can go and select based on the Twitter combinations. It's an easy job being a BCCI selector. You wake up 15 minutes earlier during a selection day, scroll Twitter, cricket Twitter, you see the names that pop up. You see Mufas and Jones tweets, you see the likely 11, just copy paste it, announce it. That's the 11. But Sanju Samson has been given a lot of time. He's been part of this Indian squad from a very long time. He has decade-long experience, but still hasn't proven anything. So he should have been in place of Sky in the World Cup, but now is not the time of ifs and buts. So he has been given a chance. On what basis, we don't know. Is there any consideration for World Cup? Don't know. So he's purely chosen based on his talent. And I really hope he plays more responsibly and delivers it.
Certainly, I think this is the stage for him to, you know, finally just shut all the critics who don't want him in the team with, like, a good performance in a place like South Africa, right? It would really do him a world of good. And another name that even you brought up was Sai Sudarshan, right? Now, he had a great TNPL, good IPL, and we've seen him, you know, really rake up those runs in domestic cricket. So, do you see his addition as, like, a welcome bonus and a reward to his great domestic track record, or do you think he should have actually been included in the T20 squad and not the ODI setup?
That's what exactly. He should have played the T20 series more than the ODI series. I think they could have tried someone like Devdutt Padikkal. He's young and going blazing. This is the second time in Vijay Hazare he's having a dream run. He's playing very beautifully in Vijay Hazare. He should have made that cut. But okay, anyways, he has gotten a chance here, Sai Sudarshan, purely based on his talents and domestic capabilities. He's a good player, so I really hope he plays to the expectations that set by the selection committee over there at the top.
Exactly. And now, when we look at another name that has made their way back into the squad is Yuzi Chahal, right? Man was overlooked for that Australia series, the World Cup, the T20 series, the cryptic tweets coming out, and finally making your inroads into the squad for South Africa again, the Twitter all over was like, yay, he's in the squad. So again, what did you make of his inclusion, and do you see him, make that impact statement with his comeback?
Definitely, I'm happy for Yuzi Chahal's name being added here. He has previously toured ample amount of times to South Africa. He has been part of the squad playing in South Africa, so he definitely brings that experience. He's a quality leg spinner. I would never deny that fact. That, but hearing from what the folks at South Africa say, if the wicket is really getting drier and lot of cracks, it's not like those age-old South African tracks which were batter friendly, then Kuldeep and Yuzi can definitely rattle the lineup of South Africa here. They're not quite strong against leg spin and orthodox spin and everything here. Klaassen is someone who is the only man in the middle order who can show the real strength of hitting spinners. He's probably one of the top-rated batsmen at the moment who can play any spinner in the world. But this will be a very good addition of Yuzi Chahal here. I hope he's also taken into consideration for the T20 squad going forward.
Definitely. And talking about the spinners as well, now you have the likes of Akshar Patel, Washington Sundar, and Kuldeep Yadav who are there with Yuzi Chahal. So this is a good spin bowling attack. What do you make of it?
Yeah, the spin department is definitely looking really strong here. You have Ravi Bisnoi also to add up here. Sorry, that's for T20s again. Okay. So Yuzi, Washi, Kuldeep, and Akshar. Yeah, the spin department looks definitely strong. But apart from Akshar, I don't see anybody who also provide that batting depth. Washington Sundar, I haven't seen him perform in the domestic as well in the recent times with the bat. Yes, with the ball, he's quite good. Keeps his length very tight. Yeah, spin department looks good. So from what I mentioned, the inexperience in fast bowling department, I think the spin department will definitely help and compensate and nullify the difference with the fast bowling department.
Certainly, and we will get to the pace bowling department and the inadequacies there. But when you look at the squad again, there's no mention of Shubman Gill or Surya Kumar Yadav because Shubman Gill is a part of the T20s and the tests, while Surya will return home after leading India in the T20s. So what do you think could be the rationale for this? Again, workload management coming into play somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. So I saw somewhere on Twitter that Shubman Gill had requested that he doesn't want to play the ODI leg for the South Africa series. It's fine. You can give it a go for other batsmen. There are plenty of batting options at the moment. So it's a very good time to experiment. There's no World Cup around the corner. Yeah, just another bilateral series.
Possible. I think that could have been the rationale. And looking at the pace battery now, you have Mukesh Kumar, Avesh Khan, Arshdeep Singh, and Deepak Chahar. So does this pace bowling setup inspire confidence? Because we've seen how the World Cup you had the likes of Bumrah, Siraj, and Shami who were brilliant. I know we didn't win the World Cup, but we still had these players who were regularly performing. So in this type of a setup, who do you see spearheading the attack in South Africa?
I think it will be Deepak Chahar who will be leading the attack because he has a better experience with Indian cricket team. Again, so Prasidh Krishna was someone who was considered for the ODI side just before the World Cup against the Australia. Australia series. He performed well. And yeah, he was benched in the World Cup. He was called in as a replacement for Hardik Pandya. But just because he went for flyer runs in this T20 series, so he doesn't make it into the ODI side of the Indian team for South Africa. He would have been lethal once again. So I'm just fanboying over his capabilities and his talent that he brings in. I have seen Prasidh perform years and years for Karnataka in similar conditions. I've seen him play in the northeastern parts in the winter in domestic seasons where the conditions will be very similar to South Africa. And I mean similar, it's that pace and zippy bounce. You get the spongy tennis ball like bounce when you hit the good areas. So I would have liked to see him continue with the ODI side for a few more bilaterals before chopping him off.
Fair enough, that makes sense. And now, somewhere do you see India's experiment, with all these new entrants? Do you
Yeah,
think like India is searching?
you have 4 more years to experiment.
Yeah, in search of this different element, because we saw, when Hardik Pandya is injured, India was like, oh my God, we're missing this, number six who can offer us a bit of stuff with the bat and the ball. So again, with the new entrants here, do you see India, searching for that X factor element or so?
Yeah, they search for X Factor each series with a few surprise picks in the 11. And those, even if those surprise picks perform, it will be the core team that will be making it into the final tournaments when it matters. There won't be any surprises, and India is won't take the risk of playing so and so X players, so who has brought into experiment. So all these experiment players will definitely be benched once it's real series that all the experienced players needs to stand up.
Yeah, I mean, that is how it'll play out. And I don't know what it'll mean for the cohesion of the team, right? Like this constant chopping and changing. And earlier in our conversation as well, you have given your prediction of it being, an easy series win for Team India. But do you have a prediction to make for the best playing 11 that India can field for the ODI series?
Best 11 for the ODI. So, Ruturaj and Sai Sudarshan. Okay, so KL Rahul is the captain. So, I think he'll continue to play at number five role. So, if Ruturaj and Sai Sudarshan are the openers, I don't see any opening options that are available. I think it will be Rajat Patidar at 3, Shreyas Iyer at 4, KL Rahul at 5. Then if Sanju Samson will definitely be a backup wicket keeper here. Then it will be Akshar Patel, Washington, Kuldeep, Yuzi. I think India will play go with 2 pace bowlings or maybe 3 pace bowling options here. So Deepak Chahar, Ashdeep Singh will be the definite 2 choices in terms of the fast bowling. Based on the requirement and situation, Mukesh and Avesh will be selected here, but I don't know. This squad is very confusing to make an 11. Really, very confusing to make an 11. There is no backup opening choice. You have the likes of Rinku Singh. I think he could be played below KL Rahul, yeah. But it's very confusing. Too much of choices for the batting department more than the bowling department. So it's easier for the batting department. South Africa being a good batting track these days with 2 new balls and everything. So it will be whoever sports a better batting side will win the game. I don't think there will be much role for the bowlers here because we are not sporting any experienced bowlers. Anyways, it's the experimentational bowlers, so it's fine as long as the batsmen are delivering.
I think it's going to be like one of those high scoring series, right? Because both the teams, I think, will come in with like solid batting lineups, especially India with this lineup looks really strong. And South Africa, considering the World Cup they did have, you know, even though they lost out in the semi-finals, will be coming with a point to prove. So yeah, a lot in stake again to see during this series. Now let's look at the T20 setup, right? Again, when you look at the squad, it's pretty similar to the one that's playing Australia right now, and we'll see how Surya Kumar Yadav is going to continue leading the side in the T20s. So how impressed have you been with his captaincy, you know, through the Australia series? Because right now India leads the series 3-1 as we talk. So any major talking points from his captaincy that stuck out to you?
It's four games and India have won the series already, so not a big deal winning a bilateral series in India with a team that you're already having. It's quite strong. I'd say, yeah, I'm happy with Surya Kumar debut series as a captain. He has done a good job. Yeah, I think this will be a true test for him, a second series, and this is where it will matter the most, because it's there. Both the teams are left with very few games going into the T20 World Cup, so both the sides will be looking into sport their best possible 11s, and if the there are chances to test your bench, they'll be looking the opportunity to keep their bench strength very high. So I think India will have a good run in T20s as well, but it will be tough again.
That's true. And Surya Kumar is what, our 10th captain in as many series we've had. Now, I think he's, you know, stepping in because Hardik Pandya is yet to recover from that injury he sustained during the World Cup. Now, with Hardik Pandya's constant injury concerns and that layoff, do you think it is a concerning sign? Because age is eventually going to catch up with him. And although, you know, we saw this whole frenzy with that IPL trade deal that happened, yet, do you see Hardik Pandya make that strong comeback and cement his place as that T20 captain?
Lot of questions regarding Hardik Pandya here. So, it's a very rare commodity once again. Fast bowling all-rounder. Even if you look at around the world, it's a very rare commodity. So, if you are playing some fast bowling, reputed fast bowling all-rounder, it's always that fear factor that you place in the opposition. Hardik was more of a fear factor based on his reputation and the experience that he brought in. Although over the years, I'm impressed with his captaincy and the changes that he was bringing in during the IPL. I'm really impressed with his captaincy, but his bowling has gone a notch up higher, while his batting, the power hitting to when he changed himself into a top order batsman, and he made sure that he could bat anywhere between 3 to 7 position. During that experimentation, I somewhere feel that he has lost that those finishing capabilities. I don't see him muzzling them or timing beautifully those shots, what typical Hardik Pandya used to do, take down those spinners and play those pull shots against the seamers. I don't see that quite often. Lot of questions regarding his fitness. Actually, he's getting injured quite a few times. He won't be playing this 5 T20 series. There's just 3 more T20 games, internationals. That's against Afghanistan before finally choosing your T20 World Cup squad, I think, which will be chosen before IPL begins. According to the ICC rules, it should be chosen somewhere in March or early April. So it's quite a gamble what India will be taking, considering the IPL at place and T20 World Cup starting just after the finish of IPL. We'll see quite a lot of changes in those squads, not only India, but squads from all the countries. There will be quite a few injuries and replacements that will be happening. So it's better to take a step back and just watch what happens from here.
That is true. And another, strange point or like talking point is how Jadeja is like the vice captain of this T20 squad. So again, what do you think was the mindset behind this move and the random accession to vice captaincy, the way to go for Jadeja?
I don't see anybody else as experienced in the squad other than Jadeja to get that vice captaincy. I don't see much role of vice captain being played in the teams anyways, unless there is an injury for the captain. But it's the only name that rings your head when you see that squad. You could either go with Shreyas Iyer or Ravindra Jadeja, who has been part of the Indian cricket team for more than a decade now. So I think he deserves the vice captaincy name alongside his name.
Possible, yeah. And even with Shubman Gill back in the mix for this T20 setup, where do you think he's going to slot himself in, and what does it mean for the likes of again Ruturaj Gaikwad and Yashasvi Jaiswal, who have been performing quite considerably in the Australia T20 series that's happening now?
Definitely. So there will be immense competition for that opening squad. As I mentioned, Ruturaj will face this competition for at least another 5 years, or as long as Yashasvi Jaiswal and Shubman Gill continue their golden run. He will face this competition and it's very cutthroat. So Yashasvi Jaiswal has proven what he's capable of. So he's someone like Pat Cummins who just doesn't speak. He does what he speaks. So he takes that aggressive approach. And India needs someone who can bat aggressively at the top. Yashasvi Jaiswal is someone who plays that fearless cricket. I'm really impressed with his capabilities. He's technically really very sound. We have seen him what he can perform with the bat for Mumbai in the domestic circuit. I think Ruturaj Gaikwad might have to step down towards a backup side with the inclusion of Shubman Gill. I think Shubman Gill will be the first choice opener for the T20 World Cup again.
That's true. And just delving deeper into a point you brought in earlier of how we have very few T20s in the lead up, right, to that T20 World Cup, and we see this fast approaching. So do you see this as the combination that Team India would more or less opt for with the probable additions of your senior players like Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli, probably even Mohammad Shami?
I think it's a very tough question to ask. So there are quite a few names that should actually make it to the T20 side with the experience that they bring in. Shami with the new ball was exceptional, lethal in this ODI World Cup. We clearly don't know the conditions that will be present in United States of America. So it's a experiment with a lot of things. Like, is it go to 3-2 side or will it be a 4-1 side bowling option? We still don't know yet. So I don't know if Virat Kohli makes into the T20 World Cup, which he should, like how Roland Garros is for Rafael Nadal. T20 World Cup is made for Virat Kohli. So if he makes the cut, what happens to the batsmen who are batting down the order? Again, the likes of bowling. When Bumrah is a very unique commodity, not anybody has in the world that the capability and the talent that he brings in. Bumrah will be our first choice bowler. Bumrah, Siraj will definitely be playing in the straightaway 11s, but I think half of this squad might be moved to the bench if senior players are making it into the T20 World Cup.
That's true. And again, these next set of months will really give us an indicator of things, if the seniors will make it to that T20 setup for that World Cup. And just looking quickly at the pace department selected for this T20 squad, now you have Ashdeep Singh, Mohammad Siraj, Mukesh Kumar, Deepak Chahar, which again presents a very interesting mix of pacers, right, for the T20Is. You reckon they'll go well in South African conditions and a great learning curve if things go south?
Definitely, I think these bowlers are experienced to play T20 cricket anywhere around the globe. The likes of Mohammad Siraj over there, just the addition of one experienced bowler over there. I won't say it's one, you have definitely Deepak Chahar, who is also experienced. So two experienced bowlers at the top will definitely make an impact for the other bowlers to carry on that momentum. So it will be a great learning curve leading up to the T20 World Cup, but this squad is really strong enough and has a lot of options over here. Once again, the only concern for me here is Washington Sundar and what basis he has made it into the T20 squad as well. He has sustained a lot of injuries. I don't remember the last time he played in the T20 side and he suddenly makes it into the T20 team and the ODI team, and his domestic performance has been mediocre. So only time will tell, but this is a really good squad for the T20s.
Agreed. And looking at the spin department too, now we see how Ravi Bishnoi has been included over Chahal in like the T20s, right? So do you see this as a good move? And Bishnoi has been like reasonably performing well in the Australia series that's happening now. So excited to see him on South African shores, making the most of the opportunity.
That's a very interesting battle going on over there between Bishnoi and Chahal to make that spinner's cut. With the experience, pure experience of T20s and the capabilities, I would any day back Chahal to play the leg spinner to take up in the 11. But Bishnoi is someone who is quicker through the air. He doesn't take a lot of chances like what Uzi does. He bowls quite a lot of from away from the stumps. He can bring in the ball. He can turn the ball much better than Ravi Bishnoi is what I feel. But he has performed well. Ravi Bishnoi has performed well in the Australia series. He has managed to get the wicket in almost all the games in the very first over that he has bowled. It will be interesting to see, to choose between Uzi and Ravi Bishnoi. It's been happening from what, 4 years, I would like to say. Uzi Chahal has always been part of the T20 setup for the Indian side. When it came to the T20 World Cup, in the very last moment, he was cut down in the last moment. May it be the T20 World Cup that happened in 2021, 2022, before that, there was ample amount of experimentations that went behind. It was also proven that Chahal was a better bowler, but we never saw him bowl a single ball in the T20 World Cup in Australia. I think it's something similar that will be going down here. It will be harsh on Uzi or Bishnoi, whoever it happens, but something of the likes of this will happen.
Definitely. And as we reach the end of our discussion as well, based on the T20 squad, do you have like a best playing 11 that India can field?
Okay, so I'll once again go with Yashasvi Jaiswal and Shubman Gill at the top. Rituraj will have to be my backup option. Surya Kumar is the captain, so he will play the number 3, or he can play number 4. So Shreyas Iyer can play at number 3, Surya Kumar at 4. I think Ishan Kishan will be the designated keeper at 5. You have Rinku Singh at 6, Jadeja at 7. Then my two fast bowlers will be Siraj and Chahal, so that will be 9. Mukesh Kumar, and yeah, spinner again, it's one among Kuldeep, Bishnoi, and Uzi. With 5 T20s ahead, I think all the 3 spinners will definitely get a chance here. So there will be a rotation happening over here. So apart from that, this will be the majority of the 11 for the 5 games.
Yeah, certainly interesting times await us, and let's see, the kind of squad that even South Africa announces for this tour. So yeah, do you have any last and final thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, so I think with the T20 World Cup ahead and everything, both the sides, I think the T20 series will be much more competitive than the other two series. So I think India will win it with a 3-2 margin in the T20 series. Won't be an easy one.
That's a bold prediction. And yeah, here's hoping we get to see that belter of a series, which is very competitive and brings the best of both sides. I mean, eventually, seeing cricket as the winner is the aim. And yeah, that pretty much does draw curtains on our discussion. Thank you so much, Sumukh, for taking your time and joining me on this podcast for the lovely discussion. It was really fun listening to your insights. And yeah, here's hoping we can have you back on the podcast sometime again. So until next time, stay safe and take care. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverInTheBackFoot on Instagram and Threads and @NeverInTheBackFoot on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season. The audio podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters, and many other platforms. So please do spread the word. Never on the Backfoot is also now on YouTube, so don't forget to subscribe to the channel and stay tuned for a lot of fun content coming up there as well. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.